Good morning, and welcome for all you guys out there on the live stream and all of our platforms, and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church. Jesus gave us many commands. However, Jesus gave us three commands that sum up all the scriptures: to love God, love others, and go. And my message today is Jesus. Madman, liar, or Messiah? It's kind of funny. We were in Sunday school this morning, and we started talking about all this stuff, and I was a little nervous of where I was going with this this message this morning. But I will tell you, if you have eyes to hear, or eyes to see, and ears to hear, God will talk to you. And I am a proven fact that God uses people that are in the lowliest of places, and that because I'm a little bit of a wild card kind of person, you guys all know me, and as long as you humble yourself, God will use you. So as we start this message today, many of us encounter many different people from walks of life. We see them at our work, we see them while we're out shopping, we see them when we're at the baseball game, got the kids out or whatever you're doing. But many of these people have different religious practices and customs. And some you may recognize, but many of them are in disguise. And the only way you can know for sure is have a conversation with them. I had this in mind when I prepared this message. If the word tells us to be prepared in and out of season. So today I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version of how to engage these groups so that you know who you are talking to. And that's what's so amazing about being able to witness to people. So this is my disclaimer to you. I'm not here to convince you what I believe. I will present facts to answer the question, is Jesus the Messiah? And in the end, you must choose based on the evidence. That is what our testimony is to people, because there are people out there that don't even know who he is or what he represents. So today, I have two books. We're going to be going through the Bible, and I got a history book, The Works of Josephus, and we're going to find out about that one here in a little bit. So, if we would, I'd like you to open your Bible to John in the first chapter, and we're going to be reading from verses 1 through 4. See that everybody's getting there. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is a very bold statement, a very bold statement. So let's look at these two statements in here. We're going to concentrate on the Word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John, if you'll just scroll down a little bit, stay in that first verse down in 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father. The second part of this statement here says, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say a few things. It doesn't say a couple things. It says all things were made through him. And we know that if you go to, you don't have to turn there, but in Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So let's look at who is God talking about. We have established something or someone was with God in the beginning. More like a couple people were there if we kind of read into this. So let's continue. This is where, if you were in the Sunday school class, it gets interesting for you guys. Many popular religions, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Hindus, the Buddhism, Islam, which is our Muslims, all refer to or have different variations of the said scripture just read. So we're going to take a little peek at these things, and that's why it's the Reader's Digest version, because I could sit here and give you Pastor Rich's all-day sermon, or we can condense this down, and I could be here all day long. So we're just gonna give you guys the Reader's Digest version of this. So Jehovah's Witnesses believe in one God. They do not believe in a Trinity. They do not believe in a mortal spirit or soul. They believe only 144,000 of Jesus' most faithful followers will rule with him. They also, something that was said this morning that I wanted to kind of bring forth to, is that they don't want you, they want you to read the scripture, but they don't want you to study it so that you can surpass what they want you to know. They don't want you to get a higher education because that way they can't control you. So that's just the version, a small tidbit about them. The Mormons, they consider themselves Christians. They believe in the crucifixion. They believe in the resurrection. And they believe in the divinity of Jesus. The problem is they believe more prophets were sent after Jesus. They hold that God and Jesus are two beings. They do not believe in the Trinity. They believe Jesus and Satan are brothers. Hindus, they believe Jesus was a spiritual leader. His example is a light to anyone who wants to practice a more spiritual life. Trying to become one with nature and yoga and Pilates and all that stuff. They just feel that, whatever you want to call it kind of thing. The Buddhism, the Dalai Lama stated that Jesus also lived previous lives. So he didn't just live his one life here on earth. He must have lived multiple lives, and that's how he got this. By living these lives, he reached a higher state of enlightenment, is what winded up happening. Our Islam or Muslim brothers, this is what's kind of strange about this. We kind of spoke about this morning. Most Muslims believe Jesus was raised to heaven without being put on the cross, and that God created a resemblance to appear like Jesus to be crucified. But they do not worship Jesus. Their Quran states the Bible is a previous revelation of God and that it is to be believed. The problem is the Bible was corrupted by man, which is us, We're the ones that corrupted it. So what God did was, is he sent Muhammad as a prophet. And the reason he sent Muhammad is because they believe Jesus was a mistake and made mistakes when he was here. So Muhammad had to fix those mistakes. They also believe the world has to be in total chaos before God can come back again. Here's the problem. These religions all have one common denominator. They have a secular view of Jesus. Secular theology rejects or denies the existence of a transcendent, divine, or spiritual dimension of reality. They believe in a God with no consequences of heaven or hell. Christianity is the only religion to recognize Jesus as God literally. I'll say that again. Christianity is the only religion that recognizes Jesus as God literally. The other religions refer to Jesus as a good man, a teacher, a prophet, a spiritual leader. Sadly, many have come to know him just as a man named Jesus. And for some of them, they don't even want to have his name even be said. The question is, who was this Jesus? And I want to concentrate on what the Bible has to say about Jesus. And there are over 100 prophecies found in our Bible, in the Old Testament, about Jesus and who he is. And they're fulfilled in the New Testament. That's the amazing thing about the Bible. The Bible is the only book that you can read it from start to finish, and it will tell you what is going to happen, and then it happens. These other Bibles and these other religious books that these other people are using, none of them are able to do that. That's the amazing thing about the Bible. So we're going to look at some of these prophecies, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to have the guys put it up on the screen here. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the New Testament part of it, and I'll give you the references, and I'm going to give you the condensed version of what it says of how it was fulfilled. So we'll look at the first one. The first one is in Micah, where it tells us that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephraim, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come from me one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Seems like we got a communication error here, but guys, but that's all right. That was fulfilled in Matthew 2, 1 through 6. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the times of Herod, who was the king at the time, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" He was foretold that he was born of a virgin. This one you guys will get right because it's only one verse. Isaiah 7 and 14 says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Yes, we got one right. Emmanuel means God with us. So we can go back to when we read there in John 1:14, where it said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we behold his glory and as of the only begotten of the Father." He became flesh and became one with us. In Isaiah 53, 12, it talks about his crucifixion. "Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with transgressor. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Mark 15, verses 27 through 28, talks about how Jesus was crucified with two robbers. Talks about how he was buried in Isaiah 53, 9. "He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth." Matthew 27, verses 57 through 60. "There came a rich man named Joseph, who had himself became a disciple of Jesus. He asked for Jesus' body and placed him in his own new tomb." Talks about the resurrection. Psalm 16:10. "Because you will not abandon me to the grave, now will you let your Holy One see decay." Again in the Psalms 49, verse 15. "But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself." Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 through 15, chapter 15, verses 3, 4, it says, "For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose on the third day." And the last thing we're supposed to do is we're supposed to glorify God. So turn to your Bibles in Hebrew. We're going to be in the first chapter. Have to slow this down a little bit. I'm kind of rushing things. It seems like time is standing still while you're up here. It says in the book of Hebrews 1 and verses 1 through 3, says, "Long ago, at many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in the last days, He has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high." That there basically comes back to our first scripture reading and what we're talking about, that Jesus interceded and stepped in and did all this work, and that we are to glorify him. Jesus crucified, dead, buried, resurrected, and then glorified. That is the very foundation of our faith. Our hope is in Jesus' word, his integrity, and his promises. Christianity is the only religion to have the hero die. And then he comes back to life. Buddha, the Dalai Lama, Muhammad, any of those other prophets, false gods, all of them are still in the ground. None of them have ever come up from the grave. There was Roman and Jewish witnesses both say his tomb was empty on the third day. So how is that possible? How is that possible? Then he appeared to them for the next 40 days, and that we don't have to go to it, but it is verified in the book of Acts, the first chapter and third, and he did it purposefully. God appeared purposefully to his people. There is no other religion, God, that has done this. There are many things written in our Bible that are proven through history. It's a history book. And it is supported by artifacts. I mean, there is archaeology digs around the world that have proven civilizations, just many things that archaeology has proven about our Bible. And there was also unbiased writers of the times. And that's where I have our second book. And this is the book of Josephus. And I don't know if you guys know who he is or what he was. I really didn't know who he was when I started this journey, but I've heard about his name, and he was a historian. Josephus was a Roman Jewish historian who fully defected to the Roman side and was granted Roman citizenship. So this guy really didn't have a pony in the race. And it's funny because he wrote, as you can see, it's not a thin book. He wrote a thick book about the history. And the funny thing is, he wrote a little excerpt about our Messiah. And it says, this would be in chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "Now, there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over to him both many the Jews and many the Gentiles. He was the Christ." He wrote that himself. He is the Christ. "And when Pontius Pilate," that's who we're talking about here, "when Pontius Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, had condemned him to be crucified on the cross, those that loved him at the first did not forsake him. For he appeared to them alive again the third day, as the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him. And the tribe of Christianity, so named for him, are not extinct at this day." That was written back when he was there. But I'm here to tell you that it's not extinct either to this day. It is alive and well. And I want to kind of bring this into a close. I know I threw a lot of information out there, and it just tells me that in our Bible studies and in our Sunday school classes, our discipleship hour, that God is using us and he's teaching us if you have a willing heart. And I'll be honest with you, I put some time into putting this message together, and I was very apprehensive about coming up here and delivering something to you guys and it being, like I said, informative and something that you could utilize and take out into your personal life and make application with it. But this morning, just sitting there in our study time, and we were talking about some of these other people groups, God affirmed to me that we are walking in his ways. His Holy Spirit is with us. And if you're a willing vessel, God will use you when the time is right. You just have to know when that time is. And he will open that door if you're willing to walk into it. Jesus, throughout this book, makes many promises to his followers if you choose to follow him and have a personal relationship with him. The funny thing is when we look back over some of these people groups we talked about, they all refer to God as different names. And it doesn't matter whether you're calling him Jehovah, whether you're calling him Allah, or Yahweh. None of those names is he the most concerned about unless you are calling his son Jesus. That is the most important name that you need to know. And you need to come in faith and accept his son as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, God promises, or Jesus promises, to stand in the gap before God on your behalf. He will provide for all your needs. He didn't say that he would take them all away, but he will provide for you. He will make you a new creation. He will give you eternal life. And that promise is in what? John 3:16, how's that go? John 3:16 says, and the church says, God so loved the world, begotten Son. Everlasting life. Absolutely. All we have to do is believe in him. And you are a child of God with an inheritance. If you still have your Bibles open, turn to Hebrews 9. And we're going to be in the, we're going to start in the 15th verse. And as I prepare to land this plane, it says, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Catch this, guys. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one that who made it, because a will is enforced only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. God himself had to die so we could be with him. And let me tell you, I can stand here with 100% assurance and tell you, he is on the throne. no matter what is going on out there in this world, no matter what is happening to you, He is up there and He sees and He hears, and He is not going to abandon us. He will use you where you least expect it. And like I said, it doesn't matter whether you're at a baseball game or whether you're out shopping. If you're willing and a vessel, if you take some of this information and just be willing to open your heart to what God has to say, He will lead you, and maybe the person you're talking to might get to know who Christ is too and accept Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the ability to be able to come before You in humility and as humble people, because, Lord, we don't deserve anything. We know we're nothing but filthy rags, but we humble ourselves that You would use us one day at the right time, just as You purposefully showed Yourself to Your people in time, because You are with us. So we ask that You would be with us when we go out here and encounter these people groups, and when we talk to them, that we could be the voice for You, Lord. Your word told us that we will do greater things than You, but God, we can't do anything without You. So we thank You for choosing us before the foundations of the earth. So we ask that You would use us, pour out upon us Your Spirit, so that we may move and help build the kingdom, because one day we are going to be accountable. And I want to be found, the word said, well done, my good and faithful servant, just as my fellow brothers and sisters that sit here are. And those of you out on the web listening to us, that prayer is for you too. And if you don't know who Jesus is, I ask that you find somebody that can tell you who He is, or maybe rewatch this, because Jesus died for you also. He put Himself on the cross willingly. There ain't nobody that sent Him there, but there also was nobody that could do what He did. So we thank You, God, for sitting on the throne and controlling everything that is going on. In Your mighty name we pray and ask these things. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.